This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. It is Tuesday, May 13th. Hopefully everything is going smooth for everybody listening. I certainly expect it to go smooth here because I got my man, my friend, my co-host. His name's John Martin. He's got a show here locally, but he's national. He is a national college basketball expert. We're also joined by Brad Carson, executive producer on the Ones and Twos. PD, program director, number one in the country. He is back from the shy, back off biz, and back on this biz. I'm producing this show. Brad, we're glad to have you. We're certainly got some splaining to do, you do.
Yeah, I put the hex on your Cubs while I was in town.
You did that. Your Cardinals have won 9 in a row. Now, nobody asked for that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And John knows this too well. You went 2-0 last night on your picks.
I did.
Right here doesn't care about the segment anymore. He's killing it.
Sad.
It's because he's picking winners.
Yep.
Maybe some people have been smart and flipped it and decided to tail this hot man, this red hot man who's back in his seat today. Brad, we're glad to have you back.
I'm happy to be back. I'm really happy to be back. I'm sorry for picking all the winners, but as we've chronicled on your show, these are integrity picks.
Integrity, the man will not pick losers on purpose.
No, I'm not sitting here doing some radio bit. This is not some hokey radio bit. You know, these are the real picks, and they were wrong a lot. And then suddenly they were starting to be right a lot. I don't know what John knows how this business works better than anybody, you know?
Yeah, Brad's rolling. I don't know if I could in good faith tell people to fade you anymore.
I mean, I got a note from FanDuel.
And hammering that Knicks pick, by the way.
They're lowering his limits, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are.
He's gotten too good.
You're going to get cut, brother. Yeah. But you know, the segment will go on and
26-19 now against the spread.
We'll kind of leave you guys to figure out whether or not you want to fade or tail. I can't really tell you what to do anymore. I had nothing last night, because I wasn't going to try to figure out that Knicks Celtics series. Mm. And as you guys know, I have that series bet on Minnesota, so I'm not really trying to dip in too much, game to game, right? That was the whole point of putting in the series bet. But I was obviously glad that they got that 3-1 lead. So, not a lot for me last night. But you know what? I will say, we thought that we were headed towards in some ways an inevitability of OKC versus Boston. Like that's just what this was going to be, and it is not going to be that. It is almost certainly not going to be that. So. I think the parity is good. It's relative parity because it's a New York team. So I'm not gonna go crazy with it. But you know, Minnesota's in the mix, man. You can't deny it. We'll see what happens against OKC. You know, assuming OKC still has to get past. I mean, that's tied. You know, and we'll talk about that game today. But I'm enjoying it. It's been a fun playoffs to me. And
I mean, I had to see the injuries.
Yeah, that was
we've had some big things go down. Yeah. You know, this has been a playoffs where we've seen it change because of injury.
Yes, that was
made life easier for Minnesota, which played well, by the way, last night. It better than they had.
Yes,
but you know that's not the Warriors. That's the zombie Warriors.
Exactly.
Without Steph,
no, it is.
And then you see Tatum go down last night in the game that he's having the best game. So I felt. I mean, I've been critical of Tatum. I felt for him last night. That was tough because he was playing well. I mean, this guy was giving everything he had. What, he had 42?
Mm-hmm.
Was playing his tail off, getting steals. Oh, he was playing both ends. He was back in that series. So, unfortunate that injuries had such a huge impact on these playoffs. But with I do like the parity, though, that you started with there.
Yeah. I have a little bit of an update that I'll get to later in the show about some Memphis basketball recruiting. Penny obviously not done, and so we'll get into the latest there. We got a big show today. Jessica Benson's going to join us at 11:25. As Brad points out, she is the Achilles expert. She went through it. She joined a group and was doing the therapy and all that. I mean, she can speak to it. Now, her injury did not occur on such a stage, right? But she was playing basketball. So Jessica Benson, Jason Tatum, kindred spirits in many ways.
We think it's ACL,
yeah,
right? It's
Achilles. That, Achilles.
Okay. We think it's Achilles.
Or did she tear her ACL?
I don't know, but I'm saying on Jason Tatum, we don't know for sure.
No, we don't
just have a lot
sure.
of people that think that's
right.
it is.
I thought she maybe it
and,
was
and which one do they
ACL.
Think it is for Tatum? ACL or Achilles?
They think it's Achilles for him. Okay. Yeah, because the way the like the
he pushed
the,
off
the
on
pop. Yeah. But you're right. I don't know, and I think it might have been ACL for Jessica Benson. But again, when you're in those therapy circles, you know, sort of a ligament is the same, right? So we'll get into that. But if it obviously isn't Achilles for Jason Tatum, that's it. I mean, that's a year. We're not going to see him until 26, 27, it feels like, which is just devastating. Like, I mean, Lillard's going through it now, right? I mean, his career could be over for all we know. Mm-hmm. Tatum's obviously got many more years left. But, man, that's a hard one. That's a hard one to bounce back from. We'll talk to Jessica Benson about that and more at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Jason Fitz from Yahoo Fox Sports Radio joins us every Tuesday, and we'll catch up with him. About some NFL, some NBA, and more. So looking forward to doing all of that. But as we usually do early in the week, let's do a little thing that we like to call, and it's the segment that's sweeping the nation, Cap or No Cap. All right. The lottery is rigged. Cap or No Cap. That'd be the draft lottery, not the Tennessee Hope Scholarship lottery. Mm. Although that one maybe is rigged as well.
The draft lottery that that Dallas gets in after losing the play-in to you and then wins. Wow. 1.8% chance that they shut up and get Cooper Flagg.
How about it?
I get the sentiment. I especially get it here. Dallas did nothing to deserve this. I understand that. But the lottery's flawed. I don't think it's rigged, if I can have that. So I'll go cap that it's rigged, but it is flawed.
Yeah.
If you're, I mean, the NFL every year, worst team gets the pick, and it seems to be doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now I heard Greeny make an argument that this is what the NFL needs to do. The NFL doesn't need to do anything. It's running things right now. I mean, I don't hear people clamoring that the NFL draft needs to be changed. Do you?
No.
And so, you know, Greeny's whole pushback was this is good. I'm not going to go that far. His point was the NFL needs to do this. I won't go that far, but. It does, when you are Detroit the last couple of years and had the worst record and finished fifth, when you're these teams, and listen, Utah was tanking. That's the part about this. I mean, you tanked it, but this 14% is not getting it. Not since they've gone to flattening this thing out for the top, the worst three teams, has the worst team gotten it. It's
right.
ridiculous.
Right.
So it's flawed.
Yep.
But I'm not going to sit up here and whine about it, about, you know, Dallas getting it and, say it's right. No, the system's flawed. If I will say, has Silver disincentivized tanking with this system? Utah did it, right? Philly did it, didn't they?
Yeah.
You're still having teams do it. You would say that the fact that the worst team hasn't gotten it pushes back, tells you, well, don't tank because you're not going to get it. And yet, you know, we're seeing this year after year after year where even the worst team doesn't even hit on it. It's not coming up ever since the change for in 2019.
Yep.
At some point, the worst team needs to get it because that's who needs it most. So flawed. I probably didn't end up whining. I said I wasn't. But who cares? I'm more interested in the discussion of what Dallas is going to do with the pick, quite frankly. Do you take Cooper Flagg or is... you look at Giannis and you say, let's win now.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
I mean, Atlanta did this last year with a 3% chance.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Were we whining about it needed to be fixed then? We're going to do – I just feel how much of this is because we're in Memphis. We hate Dallas. They shouldn't have been rewarded for the way – what happened, you know, the trade, everything else that happened. But
I didn't realize they were that low, 3%.
Atlanta was 3% last year. Dallas is 1.8 this year.
I didn't realize Atlanta was that low.
Bro, it's not,
two straight years now of teams that are just not that are
and
that are,
all the years of the worst team not getting it.
Yeah.
Again, Detroit, two straight years, worst record, gets fifth. Pretty sure fifth the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, previously, last two lotteries. So it's flawed because at some point these worst teams need to get it. I don't like the fact that some of them are tanking to do it, but they're going for this 14% chance that's not even paying off. So I don't know. What it does do, man, is it adds some real drama to this thing. Whereas, you know, with this, I mean, who would have thunk it?
Mm-hmm.
Dallas goes from the play-in. They had a shot to be in the playoffs, to now they got Cooper Flagg. If they want him, or they can make a move for Giannis. Nico's like in a whole different. I mean, this dude's like living right. Or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
Because, again, now, and I'm a guy, I don't think I'm trading Cooper. Because that's the future right there that Nico didn't get back in the trade for Luka, mm-hmm. to me. To bottom line it.
Yeah, no.
Potentially.
I don't know. Anyway.
But you cap or no cap on this? Rigged? What do you think?
No, of course it's not rigged.
It's fun.
Insane. It is insane that Dallas won it.
Flawed.
It's flawed. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, honestly, good for those fans who had to endure, you know, 3 months of absolute hell and probably canceling season tickets and swearing off their franchise because they're so embarrassed and let down to be, you know, they get rewarded. Nico, unfortunately, does he deserve to get rewarded? I don't know. We'll let history be the judge. But at least the fans who did not want Luka to be dealt, they got some karmic justice. I am happy for those fans.
Jeff mentioned, I want to throw this at you, doubling the chances for the bottom three. So you go from 14% to maybe 25 mm-hmm. or 28.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't that incentivize tanking?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Wouldn't then you'd have more teams, more mm-hmm. determined to do it, because now our chances went from 14%, and we've never seen the worst team get it, to now we're 25, 28. So I'm not with that either. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the fix is, but it is what it is. Dallas, man. Nico just living right.
Man, I mean, seriously, he went from a pariah, right?
It wasn't just that. I mean, then Kyrie went down. Like, yeah, it was a storm for this dude.
He went from a pariah
yeah.
to now he gets to draft Cooper Flagg. I mean, that's honestly like in a 3 month span. He went from like the outhouse to the penthouse.
Or he could use it and potentially trade for Giannis.
Which leads us to the next one. The Dallas Mavericks should trade the number one pick to get Giannis.
I want you to go first. You kind of heard where I'm at.
So we talked about this yesterday with the Spurs, right?
Spurs and Rockets, we discussed. Those were the two teams. Wendy talked about having improved assets after the lottery.
And
Spurs certainly do.
I think ultimately we landed on no, because the opportunity with Wimby's youth to pair him with another young guy was the difference. They have a much longer sort of horizon than a lot of teams.
Yeah, because you said Giannis is finished.
Giannis is 30.
Which I didn't agree
with. He's 30. But
did 30, 10, and 5 last 2 years.
Now, what's did was
shooting
it
60 plus percent?
Was it an Achilles or an ACL for Kyrie? Do we know?
I'll tell you it's ACL.
Okay, let's see, because that matters. Yeah, it's the ACL that he tore on March.
A lot of people are saying he's going to miss the majority of next season. They were talking on, you know, like Kyrie and
guys could come back from that.
Maybe half the season is what some, you know, a more positive outlook. Who knows? Heard thrown out there. I don't know.
I don't know how good he will be. Right.
Well, remember, too, he is the guy. There is no Luka to go half and half with. So they need him to run it, to your point.
Yeah.
And you'd have to be asking him to come right back in.
I would say if there is a team that I would entertain trading the pick for Giannis for, it would be Dallas, because they are here and now. But I would still say they should not, because they just traded their future away with Luka. They gotta start building another one. And although Giannis can help you today, tomorrow, maybe even the next day, we know that that's borrowed time. Cooper Flagg has a chance to be, like Luka, generational, has a chance to be a five-time All-NBA guy. Like, we talked about his performance at the Select Games in last summer or whenever it was. You know, I think ultimately it's tempting, but I stand pat, because I got to give my fans and my season ticket holders and everything else, I got to give them a future to latch onto, and Giannis would be great in the here and now, but I also have to worry about Anthony Davis's health. Like, I'm assuming so many different things. I'm assuming Kyrie comes back, he's okay. I'm assuming Anthony Davis can get through a full season. I'm assuming that Giannis can get through a full season, and it's just like I don't have much room for error,
mm-hmm.
so I'm staying pat. So I would say cap.
Now, his philosophy was, let's win now, right, when he made the deal.
No question. That was.
And he could double down on it.
He could.
By going for Giannis.
That's what that would be.
It's saying with what you said was.
Correct.
Win right now.
Correct.
I think if he's smart, there is no guarantee that Cooper Flagg will be the face of that franchise, but there's a possibility he will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell you probably a good possibility. I think he's that good. John talked about that when he was playing for Team Select against Team USA. It was this summer, getting them prepared for the Olympics. And he was dunking on them guys, man. I mean, we're that was against the best. Ask AD, mm-hmm. who he could be a teammate with now. Like, this guy's I'm not going to tell you he comes in. I mean, he would be the third or fourth guy on that Dallas team behind Kyrie and AD once they got all healthy. I mean, he's not taking over as a rookie in the playoffs. But what he can help you, I think, is right now in that role, right, and learning and coming up. I think it's actually kind of perfect for right now. Sure, Giannis is better for right now, but Cooper can be fine for right now. I mean, Derek Lively was an instrumental piece for Dallas in a run to the finals. Yes, he's getting it served up to him by Luka and everything else, but we've seen rookies be contributors. This dude's on a different level. Derek Lively wasn't in there playing against Team USA and cutting throats. Like, they those guys couldn't believe it. So, and it's what you said, John. This, you know, 3 to 4 years from now, he could be your face as Kyrie and AD, whatever happens with that, they're moving on, whatever you've decided, they've retired, whatever it is. This is your future. Potentially, face of the franchise. You got a new Luka, perhaps. Perhaps. Now, he's not as lauded as Luka was coming over. But still. Maybe he is. Luka wasn't a one pick, was he?
No, he was like third, and then it was traded, so I don't know.
I mean, some didn't believe at all in Luka because European guy, not athletic, not going to come over here.
Right.
Whatever. I mean, he's a game changer. I feel like Cooper's going to end up being the face of a franchise and could be that in Dallas.
Yep.
And Nico has his man. He's locked in. If he replaces Luka,
yep,
he's locked in down there. All that. He ends up last laugh. Everything else. People that were doing the fire signs or writing signing lifetime kind. He's completely flipped it.
But it's not because of him. It's just that he got lucky as hell. He got luckier than you could ever get.
Just saying, Giannis, you still got to pay that salary too, which is going to be crazy by the end of it, 70 something or whatever the crazy is. Giannis is all in on win right now. No future.
Right.
I can potentially win right now, be contender at least with Cooper Flagg in a role.
Yep.
Right. And have future.
Yep.
So I'm doing the one that gives me a chance on both.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now Nico might double down on us and show us he's trying to win right now.
Well, and if they
and we know Giannis likes Texas.
And if they do trade Cooper Flagg, to me, it really does suggest the ownership is not serious about being in Dallas for a long term.
Another potential face of a franchise you're going to ship out of there. Remember, this is a franchise also that let Brunson go. Now, we didn't know what he was going to end up being, but you are that franchise.
Bro, that's
how many of these guys are you going to let walk, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Short trade.
Because you know what's going to happen. They're going to trade for Giannis, and he's going to get hurt.
Because Kyrie and AD, they only got so long. Their time is limited.
Yep. So, I think they should not. I think they should not do that. All right, one more for
Milwaukee.
Jessica
would
Benson.
Jump on that though.
You'd
get your guy.
You kidding me?
You'd get your guy.
They got a title out of the guy.
You better.
And then they get the number one
Cooper
pick flag out of the guy.
They gonna jump on that deal over in San Antonio. So I'm gonna.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Jessica Benson, by the way, did confirm it wasn't Achilles, so she did tear the Achilles, which as she says is and it's correct, much worse than ACL.
That's right, because she was on the scooter.
Yeah. The Knicks will win it all. Cap or no cap, up 3-1 on the Boston Celtics. Seems very likely, based on the other series in the East, that they will have home court in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, it's cap.
But you want to say that it's not, though.
Yeah, I do.
I can tell.
I wanted to. I told you. I believe this team could win this series. I just had no. I didn't.
Crazy. This is crazy.
I should have believed.
Doing. I mean, they were winning. They were on their way to winning before the Tatum injury. Anyway,
the Celtics have been up double digits in every game.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Including this one. I think it was 13 or 14.
That's crazy.
14, I think.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So, I mean, the Knicks are – Brunson is more comfortable down because that's his time.
Mm-hmm.
That third quarter where he just takes over the game and it's either a bucket by him or an assist. I think it was 25 points, but scored or assisted on. Is he the best player in the playoffs, Lev?
Bro, it's hard to argue what that man is doing, bro. I mean, he does it every damn day.
If you take Steph out, Anthony's been up and down.
Yep.
This dude been every night.
Night, bro.
Even when it's 17, he's getting, you know, he's still doing other things or whatever. It seemed like he had a 17-point game earlier series or something. I can't believe what this guy's doing.
I know. It's
how does he have a post game? A post-up game? Little short guard.
I know.
Give it to you in the post.
I don't know. Like, it feels like he makes shots literally from everywhere. Like, he really...
It's like Jordan and Kobe, like a 6'6", a post guy. But this dude's doing it at what, 6'3", 6'4", whatever it is?
Yep.
He's just doing it with muscle, man. How does he get that shot off?
Yep.
It's not like he really even gets high in the air.
Yep.
It's all muscle and knowing how to body somebody. Big body Brunson. That's what Kendrick calls him.
That's what he is. So, I don't know, but that dude is definitely a playoff riser. You want to talk about risers? That's him. Jalen Brunson is a playoff riser.
If it's left up to him, they can win it.
Yep.
And he'll go down as one of the greats then.
No, I'm going to say this.
If he leads that thing up out of the dumpster into a title.
I cannot count out the Knicks, bro, because they have everything you need to win, bro. They have toughness with Brunson and Hart and OG and Anobi. They have shot-making with Brunson. They have defense with Mikal Bridges. They have and shot-making counts for Cat as well. He can do that.
Bro, they are making Cat play through his softness issues.
Yes.
Did you see him? It's broken. About the finger?
Oh, no. I've seen...
Did you see him mouth it? It's broken.
I've seen
but they're
the,
making him play. Brunson keeps throwing. Catch this alley, fool.
The compilations.
They won't let him be soft.
Like, there's like this compilation on TikTok of all the times where Cat has a zesty reaction to a foul. And he's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, my son sent me one with
it. Oh, my God.
He said, it's broken.
But you know what? That's okay. We accept Cat for who
he
is.
They make him tough. They surround him. That's a weird deal where you could see Minnesota and the Knicks on that trade. Don't forget that.
Yeah. But they both, I mean, Randall killed the Warriors last night.
It was a trade that helped both.
It was.
Weirdly.
Randall has been destroyed in the Warriors, bro.
The Knicks were awful defensively. Now the dogs are locked in.
Yep. Yep.
Because they got that green meat in front of them that they were put together to eat.
Yep. So anyway, it's been a hellacious time for the Knicks. Celtics seem done.
Minnesota, if Golden State still had Steph, bro, that's it. Whew.
Yeah, I got lucky.
I'm
with
just
that
saying,
one.
You lucked up there.
I did, because he was getting anything he wanted against that defense in the first half for sure. All right, we'll come back. Jessica Benson going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about this and more. Stick around, Jason and John.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kind of ESPN. She's got legs. I don't know if on the basketball court she knew exactly how to use them. That's why the Achilles injury took place. But we've recovered fully, and we're here today, and that's what's important. She is Jessica Benson. Catch her on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd on Grind City Media in season on the Grizz Radio Network, and, of course, Double Post. She does it all. She joins us every Tuesday. She's here now. Hello, Jessica.
Hello. How are you guys?
I'd levied some heavy accusations at you in that open.
Yeah.
I said you didn't know how to use your legs, which is not exactly a fair thing. Like, maybe you did, and that's why the injury happened.
I think that's exactly why the injury happened. For me, here's the thing about Achilles that are so unfair, because it is a non-contact injury, and it just feels like a draft lottery, some would say. So random. And was my Achilles rigged? I don't know. I don't quite understand how it works. And the truth is, no one does. Like, nobody understands why an Achilles pops when it does. But I have become, since going through my own Achilles journey, someone who watches sports, and every time somebody goes down and clutches their lower leg, I jump on, oh my God, did somebody just tear their Achilles? And it's not always the case. It's usually a ankle sprain for the most part, luckily. But when Jason Tatum went down last night, I knew it instantly, from the sheer pain on his face to where he was grabbing to watching the replay and how his leg kind of locked up. And then you see the slow-mo and you see the little ripple. And have they officially ruled it an Achilles yet?
Not that we
not
know
yet.
Yet.
But
not
I mean,
yet.
I haven't
just,
seen any of that.
Just
I get, there's always
social
a
media
that
diagnosis. You know what
something
I mean?
Else. Yeah, we're pretty good at that at this point. But no, it's just it's brutal. And you say, you know, I appreciated you saying that I'm recovered and made through it. But do you ever really recover from an Achilles injury? That's my question. Because literally just yesterday, I was doing a workout and I was doing some kettlebell swings and I felt a small twinge in my Achilles. Nothing scary, but I hopped on my trusted Achilles Warriors Facebook group to look up if there were any exercises I could do to just like condition my Achilles or do continued physical therapy because I'm constantly nervous about tearing the other one. I'm constantly feeling just some memory of, ooh, something weird happened to this leg. So it really does do a number on you both physically and mentally because I'm like 3 years out at this point.
Yeah. Has it dampened? Because it's not just Tatum that we saw go down. You know, Donovan Mitchell's down in Cleveland. We'll see if he can go. But then you've got, you know, that Steph Curry injury has obviously changed that series. Has it dampened the playoffs for you?
Yes, I'm sick of this. And it's hard because I don't really see a solution moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I know injuries have been a part of sports and postseason sports forever and always, but it does feel as if every single year we are faced with some catastrophic injury that keeps a team from reaching its full potential. And a lot goes into it, right? Like if the Celtics are in a place where they're up 2-1 last night, you could perhaps lose Jason Tatum and still find a way to win one more game or two more games and then find your way into the conference finals. But it's not the same. Like it's a team is built the way it is, and especially with those star players. And I do think the NBA has a bit of a problem because this continues to be an overwhelming narrative every postseason. And from an entertainment product, you want your best players on the court playing the best brand of basketball. And there is just no getting around watching what happened last night and feeling kind of sick about it all and not even really knowing how to feel about the game that you just watched, which was an awesome game. And the Knicks performance is great. And Jalen Brunson's doing it again. And yet you almost feel kind of dirty being excited for the Knicks because you just watched sheer devastation on the other side, not from a loss like we see often in sports, but from an injury that's not just going to impact the team this year, but if it is an Achilles tear, like he'll be out next year as well. So I don't know what they do. It feels as if the wear and tear of an 82-game season plus the play-in tournament, if you're participating in that, plus 7-game series, there's just so much. And I know we don't ever do anything in this country where we go backwards in terms of things, making money and having opportunity right. for profit. But it does feel as if there's something happening now. And it doesn't feel like it's getting better. It definitely feels like it's getting worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think a reduction in games would be beneficial in every area of the sport. It would be better in terms of regular season interest. It would be better in terms of these guys' mileage. It would be better. It's just everything.
Right.
But it's just never going to happen. It's like
well, and I think the mileage, too, now, it's not just about the longevity of the NBA season, although that definitely plays a part in it. But these guys have been playing basketball nonstop since they were kids. Like, the fact that you don't have the youth sports that perhaps some of us were accustomed to growing up where, you know, you play your rec league and then you go on. And then the ones who get really good, you maybe joined a travel club or an AAU club. Then you have your high school and college if you're good enough to play there. But you're playing basketball year-round. And I really think we'll see an impact not just on NBA players but just athletes, period, where your body, when you're supposed to be at your peak, have you already reached – your peak earlier because of how many miles you've put on your body compared to athletes of the past? I don't know the answer to that, but I would assume there's a lot of medical experts trying to do some work on it because there's just too much money involved for us to continuously be looking at stars of the sport being removed due to season-ending injury.
Dallas, on those sons of guns.
God.
They've got it. Should you just keep Cooper if you're Nico and that's your potential future face of the franchise and in whatever role he helps you win now? Or do you use the pick and you double down, triple down on winning now and go get Giannis?
I think you have to keep him just from the standpoint of you've been given a gift of giving that fan base a new face to hold
so
on
agree.
To care about,
yep,
to grow into a franchise player. And I don't know if the universe can withhold the jokes or withstand the jokes that would happen if the Mavs traded that pick. Like, I just don't know how we would all collectively respond, and the Fire Nico chance might like cause an earthquake that causes the earth to crumble into the ocean. I don't know.
Even if he got Giannis, you'd think it'd still be a lot of the fire?
Even if he got Giannis, yeah. I think it's just... It's one of those things. Who are you giving up to get Giannis in
Absolutely.
That situation? And listen, I'm all pro. I love Giannis Antetokounmpo. I went to the Greek festival in Memphis last weekend, and I said we should have invited Giannis as a little, like, look what happens here. This is a nice thing we do every year that honors a part of your culture. But I think the Giannis sweepstakes are, you know, the biggest story of the offseason. And loaded in everything yesterday is not just the draft lottery making the West better with the Mavs getting the number one pick and the Spurs getting the number two pick and Jason Tatum getting hurt in the East. But it is this idea that Giannis is destined to come to the West, it almost feels like at this point. But if I'm the Mavs, I just think you have to look at the opportunity around a prospect like Cooper Flagg and what that can mean to the organization,
yep.
not just in the coming years. You already have said that you have a championship contender, and I get that the Kyrie piece of it makes it complicated because he won't be back for next year, so are you looking at 1 year of development opportunities for Cooper Flagg? I don't know. They also told me defense wins championships, so they got to double down on that too. I am genuinely more concerned that the Spurs will take the approach of, hey, maybe we could put together a package to go out and get Giannis, because then that just continues to accelerate their timeline, and it would immediately make them one of the best teams in the Western Conference next year.
You just can't, you know, you got to worry about your own. You got to worry about
That's
your own yard.
Say.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's what they say.
You'll just drive yourself crazy. It's like diagnosing yourself on the internet. You know what I mean? You just have to focus on you go crazy trying to do that. You got to focus on yourself and fix what you can fix, control what you can control. It's always going to be, you know, an arms race, right? I mean, you have to figure out where you fit in it. You know what I mean? Like, sort of being and that's true. Like, but teams are going to make moves. You have to decide whether or not you should join them and how you should join them. That's, you know, that's the challenge for the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the answer is. It seems like with Isolo, they're going to stay in kind of pat, but I don't know the answer to that. You know, and I could see a world where now they're just like, hey, full off season of principles, full off season of what we're doing and implementing and how different this is going to be. So, you know, in tandem with, all right, let's hope we get that second year leap from Jalen Wells. I mean, crazier things have happened, I guess, is how I would sum that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And a second year leap from Zach Edey.
Yeah.
Who knows better than the Memphis Grizzlies the promising long-term view of rookies and the necessity of them performing well immediately,
mm-hmm.
And understanding that just doesn't happen more often than not. And so there does have to be some runway there, but you never know what the year one to year two leap is going to be for anyone. And hey, you don't know, if you really want to go big brain on it, you have no idea what Cooper Flagg is going to be in the NBA. I know all signs point to him being fantastic on both sides of the ball, but until you see it come to fruition, you just don't know. So we could sit here and hypothesize all day, and it's what we do. It's part of our job, but you really don't know.
It would depend on what would go out in terms of the answer to this question, I think you'd have. But if you mentioned if Giannis went to the Spurs, I'm with you. They rise up, you know, where they'd be at the top of the West, wherever, but they go up. Would you be more concerned about him with the Spurs, assuming that Wimby and De'Aaron are still there, and why wouldn't they be, than you would be with Houston? If they make the money, Matt, and they have to send out Alperen because he clogs up the paint and that's Giannis' territory, would you still be more concerned about the Spurs than you would a Houston team with Giannis and Ime Udoka?
The only reason I'm excessively concerned on the Spurs is because of the Victor Wembanyama piece of it, right? Like,
I'm
the alien-like nature of him taking over the league. But otherwise, in terms of a team in totality, I think the Rockets are just as scary, even if they do have to ship out Şengün. And I know Jalen Green shrunk in the playoffs, but there's just so much good with that Rockets group and watching that series against the Warriors. And hey, we talked about playoff battle scars. They just got a pretty significant one this year. And Giannis knows a thing or two about those as well. And so you add that to the equation, I feel like they would be in a very immediate place to not just contend, but to like truly feel like they could approach a postseason with some confidence. Whereas when you're looking at the Spurs, yes, and if you're keeping, you know, what's called De'Aaron Fox one of the other untouchables and Stephon Castle. There's still some growth there to go with that grouping, whereas you've already seen a good chunk of that with the Rockets. So both of those teams that exist in non-income tax paying states are concerning from a Western Conference standpoint.
Yeah. Talking to Jessica Benson, she joins us here every single Tuesday on the show. I will say, and I know that you would appreciate this as a frequent traveler, I really wanted to be in New York City last night.
Oh, it looked so fun.
Like, I mean, you got to think about it. I think you and I are about the same age, right?
Yeah.
We have never known a Knicks team that was this relevant. That that would play in an Eastern Conference Finals and be like.
No, I've heard rumors of what it was like, but not me.
Jason is in his 60s, so he remembers sort of the Oakley and Patrick Ewing days, right? We didn't get to experience those, you know. So this is new, and I gotta say, I mean, I wish I was in the jungle up there, man. I wish I was kind of. I bet it's crazy up there today.
The scenes of Seventh Ave with just the complete horde of fans. I mean, traffic couldn't get through, and it just seemed so much energy. And I love the celebrity row of it, and obviously Spike Lee's been carrying that torch for a long time. But seeing Ben Stiller celebrate with the team, seeing the emergence of Timothy Chalamet as the new face of young celebs who are fans of the Knicks, and sitting courtside, and he had the whole circle around moment with Amari Stoudemire from when he was a kid. He got an autograph from him, and then he met him last night. And I don't know, it just, there's this whole culture around New York. I am a big proponent of New York City, so I'm easily tantalized by the idea of, wow, it looks like it'd be such a good time to be in Madison Square Garden, to be in the city following a game like that. But I know other people are very scared. Like, there are fans out there who are like, oh, you gotta stay away from the Knicks fans. They're out of control right now. But I want to be a part of the out-of-control Knicks fandom. It seems fun.
Have you checked out the second-round prospects, Jess? You know, this is where we really do the damage.
Can't say I've gotten to that part of my draft prep yet, but you know what? I can't wait to dig in and find out who the next second-round gem is going to be for the Memphis Grizzlies.
It's very exciting. It really is.
Yeah.
It's year looking it's to my find favorite that time
value,
of year
that starter-level value.
No.
The TJ Maxx draft picks, that's my favorite territory to get into.
TJ Maxx. I mean, I used to – TJ Maxx was my spot, okay? As a 10, 11, 12-year-old, mom on a single, single mom.
Yeah, yeah.
You used to, bust it down at TJ Maxx now. They would have they'd have polos in there. They'd have they had brands, man, for real. I mean, I recall having a lot of success, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, nobody asked, where'd you get that shirt?
It'd be one sleeve longer than the other, though. It was all faulty, faulty brand name wear.
Nah, bro.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. TJ Maxx sometimes has real brands with just a small, the threading would be a little off.
Because the pocket's threaded. It ain't even a pocket. Exactly. It's right. It would have a long stitch on there.
I recall all of my fabrics from TJ Maxx being top quality. I don't know where you're getting this. I don't know where you're getting this.
I was a Nordstrom Rat gal myself.
See, she wasn't in no TJ Maxx's growing up. Let me tell you.
That was my favorite.
Well, I was in the struggle, dude. I had to, I got my little, $12 T-shirt.
No, I was legitimately always really jealous because I would try to go to TJ Maxx and find something, and I would fail. And I would have friends who would find real designer stuff at TJ Maxx and get a great deal for it. I'm like, how did you find that? And you got to comb those racks. You got to comb those racks through and through. And I always deeply respect for the TJ Maxx finders, like the Memphis Grizzlies, I like this metaphor.
Yeah, but there's, Jalen Wells' sleeves were proportionate, you would say, right?
Yeah, I think his sleeves were quite nice.
Yeah.
Until he broke his wrist, and then he was back on the court.
That's right. But that has nothing to do with the stitching. I mean, the trade war is over.
No, you can't. The stitching isn't someone getting undercut on a dunk. Come on.
Yeah, so I would ask, Jessica, just humble yourself a little bit, maybe go to a Marshall's and pop some tags, like we used to do back in the day. That's what I would recommend.
I think so. You guys, I have to share this right now. I am pulled over in my car in the parking lot of Piccadilly, on Poplar, and there is a man in his car who just got my attention, who is informing me he's listening to me on the radio talking.
You're famous.
So shout out to him. He's a real one.
You're famous.
No, you're the real one for parking your car and doing
right,
this
very,
segment.
Very
I was just telling John, man, you go 200% every time.
We never
get a down Jessica Benson or having a bad day. Let me just go ahead and, you know, get this done and over with.
It in all the time.
And so thank you, Jessica. And, and
course,
I hope that
I'm
man,
happy
yeah,
too.
He obviously loves your appearance with us and obviously your show as well.
That's right.
Jess, you're great to join.
Part of my Tuesdays.
There you go. Jessica,
we appreciate
you're
you,
the best. Thank you, and enjoy your shopping spree at Marshall's.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Yep. She is Jessica Benson. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I used to have, you know, they used to have like all the brands, bro. Like back the, like the brands that I wanted to wear, I couldn't go find no Jerbodes there. I had to get those elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, you weren't gonna find no you remember the Jerbode jeans?
Mm-hmm.
Where you pulled like the strap. Like yeah, like a Velcro strap at the knee. You remember?
I
that?
Don't remember that. All that. It just had the little stripe on the zipper. You know, that's what set them off. The white stripe. That's why you knew they were Jerbode.
The ones that were big when I was growing up was the ones that you could like pull.
We didn't. I didn't do no Velcro.
You had like a Velcro that had like the logo on it at the knee. You couldn't find those there. You know, but you could find Echo, South Pole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For you, Sean John.
You wore a lot of lugs, it sounds like. Your mama had
you didn't want to put on lugs,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah,
I mean,
you did.
I never wore lugs, but I don't think there's anything wrong with lugs.
Well, your mom
like
was working hard. You know, you would wear
Timberland.
What your mom could get you.
I think lugs were like the poor man's Timberland, right? I remember lugs because the WWF used to have commercials for lugs.
Yeah.
You know, lugs.
Yeah, L-U-G-Z.
That's right. That's right. Now, I never wore Skechers or anything like that. I mean, the worst thing I ever wore was, like I've talked about, I had the FUBUs. I had some food.
This is awful.
And then I had the Shaqs, which I was ashamed of.
You really thought you were Eminem when you had them FUBUs on, didn't you?
I liked the FUBUs, actually, believe it or not.
Felt it. You felt at home.
I also, once upon a time, had the Starberries, the and one Starberries.
Saw him last night. He said, thank you. He's still living on that.
Dude, I had all of it. I had all the
he's a rock star there.
Bootleg
still.
Athlete shoes, bro. I had all of it.
Marbury is still big in New York, still huge in China.
Oh yeah, he's a legend.
And the guy's he's living good.
He's an absolute legend.
Saw all of them, and Spreewell was up in there.
Yeah.
I mean that looked like fun.
Yeah, exactly right. Thanks to Jessica Benson for joining
great.
Us. And again, if you're out here it's like a syrup sandwich, dude. You gotta do what you gotta do. You know, you gotta eat it, and you gotta just it's sustenance. It's clothes. Go to TJ Maxx, man. Get CJ a pair of pants or something.
I've probably been there twice.
Really?
Never bought a thing out there.
Damn. TJ Maxx is worth.
Nah, I buy out of Marshall's again. But
what's the difference? Isn't it the same thing?
Well, I mean, when I was trying to be like you and get the
right,
you know, with my own money,
right? The South Pole
going to Marshall's try to pull. But again, those would be flawed. All items, brand name items that had a flaw in them,
mm-hmm.
poor stitching, off buttons.
Brad, you ever do the TJ Maxx thing? You ever go to Marshall's, man?
TJ Maxx.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Brad loves TJ Maxx.
Get all them jeans out of there, Brad. You get them Jordache.
I didn't do the Jordache
jeans. Did the Jordache.
Like TJ Maxx was actually high end when I was growing up. Like pay for less, you
Jesus
know? Like,
Christ.
Yeah, like I grew
Where'd
up in the country, man.
Yeah,
like,
he was out there by the farm.
Did you grow up in Libya?
When you grow up in like Illinois, like rural Illinois, like there ain't much, man.
This man said TJ Maxx was like a treat.
It was
crazy.
A treat. No,
that's
like
crazy.
It was a treat. I am not making that up.
That's
I was not prepared for all this TJ Maxx love today.
There are people shaking their head also that grew up in the country that are going, you know, 30 years ago, TJ Maxx was kind of a treat.
I mean, it was, but it was like, you know, doors where you went for $10 shirts, you know what I mean? $10 tees.
Got to do what you got to do.
Oh, believe me. I lived it, man.
I still like TJ Maxx, actually.
Yeah, nothing wrong with TJ.
There's one in Germantown.
Yeah, I mean, nothing wrong with it. It's just, you know, it's budget fashion. It's like, you know.
But you got name brands in that, John.
No, I mean, Jason is probably right in that there's some defect with them, which is why they're offered.
Defective.
Or they basically, I don't know how this works. My guess would be the other thing is they get sent to the major retails. Nobody buys them. Then they have to send them somewhere else. So they wholesale them.
Yeah. That's how they knock it down for Brad.
That's right. That's right.
I also like Nordstrom. Nordstrom's rack is my go-to here in East Memphis.
Isn't Nordstrom high end?
I don't know. Nordstrom's high end. Is the rack a little bit?
Yeah, but it's still like down half price. You can buy Brooks Brothers shirts for half price there.
Like, it's still higher end, though. It's still.
But you can go into Nordstrom's rack right now across from Howie's store over there on Perkins and get yourself a Brooks Brothers, like a hoodie or a shirt for like $40 that would normally be $80.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But see, again, that's gentrification. You know, I want to go into the TJ Maxx and get me the $9 South Pole shirt.
Right.
That's what my experience was, bro. Like, had like skeletons on it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, the stuff that nobody else wanted. You know, that's what I got. And the Echoes. People don't remember the Echo days, man.
Remember the Echo?
Yeah.
What was the brand for you? Number one, 80s. What was it?
80s. I wasn't trying to. 90s. Was where I'm
90s.
Clothing myself.
My bad, bro. I didn't mean to. I date you that
much. I mean, it's always a joke. I'm 60, according, you know, to your telling Vince that I'm in my 60s. It's always an age joke. You know, I'm the same age. I'm the same age as Jeff Calkins.
We're the same age.
No, Jeff needs to retire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I'm saying for him.
That's between you and him.
You are making folks old now, John. Come on now, dog.
Exactly.
No, but
I guess we do make you young from time to time.
That's
and
it's just fair is fair.
And you love it, don't you?
An eye for an eye is in the Bible. It's biblical.
I think Jeff is still young, for God's sakes. We need him to hang around. I mean, he's doing well.
Hey, he's got the body of a 39-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
In that kind of shape.
Well, we have a lot more to touch on. I've got an update on Memphis basketball recruiting.
Hey.
The next commitment may be a Memphis native. Get into all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I turn to FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.